Welcome to the Weekend Market Report. I'm Michelle Rook with Jerry Gahlke, president of the Gahlke Group. For the week, May corn 2¾ higher, with December corn up 2.5 cents. May soybeans were 1 cent lower. November soybeans lost 0.75 cents. May soybean meal dropped $1.40 per short ton. May soybean oil was up 31 points, with May Chicago wheat gaining 5.5 cents, May Kansas City wheat falling 5¼ cents, and May Minneapolis wheat fell 16 cents. Well, Jerry, corn closed 15 cents higher after the USDA prospective plantings report showing producers intend to plant 90 million acres of corn. But how bullish was that?
Well, the acreage was a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise because I did the numbers and I mentioned it to you, I think, in one of our broadcasts where I said for the first time in a long time, I was thinking about maybe planting beans on beans on all beans. And yet we couldn't find anybody in talking to our own clients. It looked like 2/3 of the clients liked where they were at. They liked their rotation. And there was some that was some uncertainty. But it doesn't take much to move 2 or 3 million acres. You know, that's like 2 or 3% of the total. So I was surprised that they came in with that low. But to their credit, FBN hit it again. Last year they hit it almost dead on. And this year again, at least the trend from being extreme. And it was that extreme, I think, that counted, that we had, we touted the fact, you and I, in talking, that the market is telling us, don't plant 6 million acres of corn. You don't need it. You don't want it. You got to get that carryover down. And I thought we probably would never get there based on the early fall and eider sets on. The government said something different, said we did do that. So farmers are listening to market signals and profit and loss. And I think what was interesting at the top producer conference in Kansas City was even the Fed Federal Reserve Board chairman president of that region said that at best you're going to break even. Well, logic says why would I want to spend $200 or $300 more on a crop planting corn than beans if I'm just going to break even? You know, so it doesn't make economic sense. You don't get a return on that extra money placed in it. So we saw beans go higher. I was surprised that beans rallied from the bottom, but they ironically, these whole markets, they capitulated just in time. We were ahead of the market to allow somebody to buy it. And on the excuse that it was that avian flu that's going in the cattle, which was in the news for maybe a week already. And I thought there's something else going on. Well, we found out today. So that was the good news acres wise.
And just how bullish do you think the quarterly stocks number was for corn?
The quiet part that nobody talks about yet, and I've listened to some recaps, is the stocks report. And although it was close to, it was less stocks than we thought, than the trade guess, I guess. But when you look at it, if you consider that the stocks that we had going into our fall harvest, or after our harvest, we said we'd carried in about 1.7 billion. And then we grew a crop. So in all the supply and demand balance sheets that you see out there, they show a total available product, and that would be carry-in plus the production. And if you look at it, last year we had, I think, 1.7 billion carry-in, and we produced 15.1. And this year we had 16.7 billion bushels. The kicker is that last year at this time we had a 8.34 on March 1st this year versus 7.4 last year, and so we have a billion bushels more, but we should have had a billion seven more based upon our production, because 16.7 all supplies this year going in out of harvest versus 15.1 this year was about 1.7. So when you look at it, you said, you know, in the first 6 months this year, and you look at our stocks on March 1st this year, we are 700 million bushels less than what you should have had the everything being equal. So somehow we disappeared 700 million bushels, even though the market might have accepted it. You don't really place it in your mind until you see it written, you know, by the finger of God on the wall when USDA comes out. So that tells us a couple of things. Some of that went into exports. We know exports are better than last year. Maybe 300 million of that. But somewhere along the line, we use more grain, either in feed usage because corn was cheap, or because we overestimated last year's crop. And that has significance because I don't know of anybody out there that believed that we had increase in yield in January 12th report, and that just kind of sunk our markets again, made them depressed because of the shock and of the more supply and never ending supply. We're going to have 3 billion bushels left over next year and all that stuff in corn, and suddenly we find out that there's a questionable disappearance somewhere. And now we probably won't know until we see the stocks report later on, or we see it revised, and then finally somebody will come back in a year and say, yeah, we overestimated the crop. Well, if NAS did that, then they have egg in their face. So that's the good news, and that's really kind of a bullish scenario, because we are cheaper corn prices. The government will tell us you'll use more, and you'll probably plant less, and we had less acres total too. So the hidden amount in that corn thing is pretty friendly to me. And that's rare that you really get two good news at once. We'll see what they do with this in the April 10th crop report. I think it's April 10th or 12th.
And what kind of technical action did we see on the charts post report?
We had key reversals higher in corn. Soybeans, there's not a lot bullish in beans unless it's South America yet. And but now the job of the market is, do we want to keep acres in corn and not lose any more to beans? So now you have just the opposite they had going in. We said, don't plant the corn, plant the beans. And we did. And now they're saying, whoa, you did what you said. And now don't get excited. Don't continue to drop any more. And we got to keep corn prices stable so that you don't get someone else in there saying, I'm going to plant less corn and I'm going to plant another million acres of beans. Then you got, but at least then you'd have one market that would be bullish. So that's a long story to a short question, but it's not easy. It gets more complicated now than any time that I've been around in my lifetime. And but it's nice to see it come to fruition. At least we were kind of predicting that a couple of weeks ago, and in the column in the top producer, I think.
In fact, you had lifted most of your hedges mid-February and really were somewhat unprotected going into the report.
We had some short calls on way out in December. And what I looked at was, I looked at it one day, and in my cash market in Northern Illinois, where we get fleeced a lot, we don't have a lot of ethanol plants. But the corn, my corn in the bin now that I've got stored in the elevator, was worth 40 cents a bushel more delivered next fall than it was today. Well, you can talk all you want about the interest on your money and all that kind of stuff, but I could afford, I calculated to pay the 26 cents it's going to cost me until September 1, and I still made 16 cents a bushel. So there was no reason for me to want to sell the corn that I had left. I hedged some of it off in December, and actually what we did is sold a couple of calls, 10,000 bushels worth maybe, for 480 calls, which were, I think, 23 or 24 cents, somewhere in there, and which meant corn had to go over $5 before we were wrong. We'll likely lift those, but that was a whole lot better than being short the market, which we haven't been short in futures for quite some time because of the risk. And so it worked out. We sold calls early in January for the carry. The carry narrowed from March to July, and now we're looking further out. So, summer's coming yet, and there's still some forecasts about it might be hotter than drier than normal. But, you know, we heard that last year. But you're beginning to wonder now, or we have to begin to wonder, whether that crop really weathered the storm last year as much as we thought, the lack of storms or the dry weather. Because if we mysteriously lost 300 or 400 million bushels, that's at 80 million harvested. That's 5 bushels an acre. So that tells you, wait a minute, maybe it wasn't 100, maybe it was as bad as we thought originally. It just took all this time to find out. And I suspect there might have been some grain left over from the year before that was counted as stocks that wasn't really last year's production. So there's more questions than answers, but at least the questions are friendly. You know, it'd be hard for them to walk back on it now.
And Jerry, in your most recent top producer article, you mentioned that corn really looks too cheap relative to other sectors of the market, and that the market is out of whack.
You know, what I look at is that things are out of whack, and things are really cheap in the commodities and expensive in the things that we buy with the money we make out of commodities, you know, the housing and so forth in the stock market. And it's by being out of whack, it's oftentimes go to equilibrium. And if the readers and listeners look at that column, they'll look at that long-term chart. We did that back when the NASDAQ was real cheap and Toll Brothers was like $12 for the stock, and grain prices were high and the commodity prices were high, and it seemed out of whack. It seemed, and I remember showing this to a gentleman in largest farmer, I think, in Canada, did a seminar there, and he looked at it and he said, you know, farm prices are too high, stock market's too low, housing's too low. And he sold all his land in North America and that he had in Canada, the United States, turned right around and bought housing in Phoenix at 40 cents or 60 cents on the dollar, and flipped that money flow back to where sold what was expensive and bought what was cheap. Now, I don't know whether, you know, Goldman Sachs has a commodity index, but they have more things to do with oil than uranium and platinum and gold and all that stuff. He thinks that all those commodities, including corn and soybeans, but weighted less than what I have in that chart, will probably go higher this year. So it's a pretty easy thing to say when you're at record lows. You know, you're at the lowest lows you've had in 3 years. So it wasn't a genius thing on my part. I just looked at it and said, this is not good. Two things are going to happen. And if I've got stock, I'm not buying anymore. And if I've got commodities, I don't think I want to sell them here. And that so far, and then we'll watch how that transpires. But there is an equilibrium and ebb and flow and all this money flow. And you're probably right. We might look at buying some, the money might flow into commodities. But we've always seen them, already have seen outside investors buying land. Now, that's been tempering it a little bit. There's a farm sale in North Dakota of quite a bit of land. And the rumor is during today that it was kind of tepid. It wasn't as the excitement that we've seen in the past. So high interest rates may be affecting some things. So it's just another indicator to me that it's like a boxing glove coming out of the computer and hitting me in the face and say, Jerry, there's something wrong here. And this has gotten out of whack. And so you just plan accordingly and see where it leads. But so far, so good.
And for more information, you can contact Jerry at info@gulkygroup.com. Thanks so much, Jerry Gulkey, President of the Gulkey Group. I'm Michelle Rook with the Weekend Market Report.